Hey yo.
Reading is dope.
Some books are for knowledge and some you read for entertainment. The same with blogs and magazines. Each word gets you higher and fills you with hope. You're now tuned into the podcast.
Reading is dope.
Yo, you tuned in to WGBR. Gilla Boys Radio. This right here is the Reading is Dope podcast. Reading is dope. This is episode 6. You know how we do. On this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with a young lady.
Reading is dope.
It goes by the name of Joan Vieve, Sienna Morris. In this episode, she spoke candidly about her mental illness.
Reading is dope.
About her life struggles and how writing has helped her alleviate some of those struggles. We go into depth about a lot of things in this episode, so just sit back, relax, kick your feet up, and enjoy.
Reading is dope.
You're tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio. Mrs. Morris, how about you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am 27 years old. I am an independent author. I've been writing more or less for almost 22 years. It would be 22 years on my birthday. I started writing when I was 6. Mm. What really sealed the deal for me, it would just be like words, putting together with little pictures at first. And then by third grade, I had an assignment that really spoke to me. It was like, who do I admire most? And it was my mother and my grandmother.
Nice.
And I remember being really descriptive with my words when describing how I admired my mom and my grandmother. See, my mom is a Jamaican immigrant. My grandma brought my mother and her 7 siblings over one by one from Jamaica, her being the first one to come over. So that assignment for me, it really started what I would call my 17-year hobby that turned into a career. I didn't think I was any good. I was going to keep this a hobby. And it was like, okay, I'm going to just try and put something out there. Honestly, this was a book of erotic poetry that didn't really do well. I just wanted to see if I could do it back in 2016. But then I realized I was really good at it.
Right.
And I just went from there. That started in 2016, and it's been happening ever since. I'm a perfectionist, so I've only come out with one book so far, but that's because I'm nitpicky. I'm never satisfied.
I get it. I've been there before. But what I want to ask is, so what made you realize that you were actually good at it? Like, what happened?
It wasn't one thing specifically. I just realized I enjoyed doing it. And it turns out I like forming ideas from start to finish. I like the whole from conception to the outline. I like the whole idea of creating something that's my own, giving it my own unique spin. Because
right.
Most times in a story, unless the author makes it clear she's writing from two perspectives, you know, mostly it's known. But my kind of style is, I'm writing from both perspectives at the same time. So you don't know what you're going to get. And it's kind of hard to pick up unless you know my writing style. Like Anthony, he's edited my work. He understands it. But if you're just a person coming into it, you won't understand it.
Okay.
And I just think it's my unique way of keeping people guessing. Because most of the time you read a story, you know from the jump what perspective it's from. But I have a way of spinning it and talking from both a male in one chapter and then switching it to a female in the same chapter, if not the next one. What made me realize I was good at it is the fact that I'm not like everyone else. I have my own unique way of doing stuff. And it's not like everybody else's. The way I do my stuff isn't like everybody else's. And I guess that's how I realized I was good at it and I enjoyed it. I mean, this is all I've ever really been good at. I mean, yeah, I could hold down a job, but it's like, ugh. It's not, it doesn't move, you know, soul. Exactly. And I feel like this is something I could really get behind, something I could create and form. It's like, it's mine. Knowing that I could create something that's uniquely mine is how I realized I was good at it, or I wanted to pursue it fully. But I don't think I would have ever if somebody wasn't encouraging me to pursue it fully.
But you know what? That's one of the drawbacks of being a creative person. Even though we feel like we don't need to be validated by someone, that validation.
But we really do.
Yes, that validation is really what pushes you along your path. You know, it makes you do something or not do something.
Exactly. And it can't just be anybody.
Right.
Anthony, I've known him more or less through Facebook for 10 years. I've never seen the man's face at all.
Right.
We just connected in a writing group. And he just really saw my passion from the start. It has to be the right people. Because you could tell, I could tell within the first 15 minutes of talking to somebody what they're about just by seeing how they interact with people, how they are with others, you know, right. And then I guess it's like the power of discernment. I could tell, God would tell me to like ride this person out for a while, but they weren't meant to last, or you shouldn't really go hanging around that person. So I feel like it's the right people. That's the right people with the right motives that will really be the deciding factor for your career.
You know, they say we attract what we are.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta, you know, I look at it, strive to be your best self.
Exactly.
You'll attract those who are on that same path.
I used to think for a long time I attracted crazy people.
Why
and it's like I don't know, because I'm mentally ill. I have mental illness, and I would, for the longest time when I was in high school, I would attract people that were just as mentally ill, whether they knew it or not. And I was like, dang, like, why? And it's like, well, you know. And then somebody told me one time, maybe they see something in you they don't have, but they want. And I was like, but why does it have to be crazy people, though? Can't it just be people that see something?
Maybe they see the calmness in you. Or it's like, if they feel like they're...
You said
like,
calm?
Calm or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
I was about to say, because there is nothing calm about me. And there was nothing calm about me in high school either.
No, I'm just trying to...
No. I see what you mean. I just get surprised when people say I'm calm or anything like that. Because this is so... Like, I am more mellow now than I ever was before. But it took a lot of, like, growing. I feel like there's a lot of growth and pain behind that. So, and it's like, I don't know. I feel like nobody can tell me about myself at this point, because you see what you see on Facebook.
Right.
I'm out there. I make a lot of comments about everything. People just think because it's the norm to have clients that don't get back to you, whether they're interested or not. It's just something to be okay with. And if you're not okay with it, you'd be looked at as complaining because you want professionalism.
Right.
And you make it known you want professionalism. And it's like you get called attention seeking when you state that you want professionalism. And it's like we aren't taken seriously as authors because the industry is oftentimes tacky and we settle for being unprofessional.
I don't think that's just the writing industry. I think that's across the board.
Yeah, this is just something I've noticed being an independent author professionally. It's just something I've noticed, and it can be said about everything. But you know, it's just something I've noticed, really taking the time and starting my own businesses. I just noticed that because I want to be different.
Right.
You know, I pay extra attention because I'm trying to do it too, just like everybody else. And I strive to be different. And you, I guess you just notice things more when you're trying to be different and you realize how people are just okay with being tacky or unprofessional. And you get viewed at as complaining when it's, you know, I'm sorry. As a Black woman, I just don't think we should have to settle. I think we settle for everything else the world throws at us. This is not something I'm going to settle for.
Okay.
You know, and I guess that's just how I am. I'm going to speak on it. If I don't think it's right, I'm going to speak on it.
Right.
They want us to be quiet in every other way. I'll be damned if I'm going to be quiet when it's my business and you're working for me. If you feel that way, go away.
You got to speak your truth.
Exactly. And just because it's not yours doesn't mean I'm attention seeking or seeking validation. You're not going to agree with me, and I don't really care.
Right.
Keep scrolling, honey.
So what would you say your biggest challenge for being an author is, or for writing in general?
For me, I can't speak for no one else, but for me, it's having those moments of doubt where I see people succeeding and I don't think I will get there, or I'm not there yet. So I think I'm just down on myself. It's having the patience to know that I will get there in time and it's not my time yet.
Okay. You believe everything happens in due time?
Yes.
I do too.
And it's like, and another thing is just finding, knowing that my writing is dope, because I could be on top of the world 1 minute with a story and then just like, it's like, I'm very nitpicky. So 1 minute I'm good with the story. And then the next I'm just like, nah, this isn't good. This is trash. And it'll just like, somebody else will tell me. And I'm just like, nah, I don't like it. Nah, I don't know. Maybe that's the part that's never satisfied. Or maybe I'm just better than I think. I just never want to give myself credit for it. But it's just knowing that my work is decent enough. And in due time, somebody will take notice. So those would be the two biggest challenges right now.
So can you describe your writing process? Like, is there like a certain space in the house you go to, or do you have to get your mind in a certain spot, or do you just sit down and start writing or typing?
Well, I draw from tragedy. Like in 2019, I called it the year of tragedy. It seemed like late October through December, I was losing people that I cared about dearly. And it just seemed like I would always hear about something, you know? And then a couple years before that, I had a friend that committed suicide. So fast forward, 2019, somebody else passes, and I felt like I was just a death magnet at some point. So I drew from that and wrote a story about my male character losing everything, his sisters, his mother, and father in a fatal car accident. And then his wife passes. And he slowly starts to realize that she was just with him for his money and what it could give her. He meets this person that totally turns his life around and he falls in love. So I based that story off of tragedy at first, but there's always a happy ending. I feel like a lot of my stories are like that. Like I'm writing a romantic thriller where this girl has a bad record with men. You know, she always attracts the wrong people. She meets this guy and it totally changes. Turns out this guy has a crazy ex that is seeking vengeance. So I don't know where that came from. I don't know. But it's just wherever I'm called to, it's where I go.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't know if I have a unique writing style, but I just started writing outline. Just started. Never had I ever started writing outlines, and my work would be so confusing to me And as soon as I started writing outlines, my story started to flow. I started retaining the story more. So I guess it starts with an outline. And then I put it on paper. I go two or three pages in, and then I take it to my computer and I do the rest freeform from there based on that initial story I wrote down on paper.
Okay. So you kind of outline each chapter or you
just... I have an outline for the whole story. I start writing the story and then I stop at some point, put it on my computer. And since I already have the idea written down somewhat in some form, I take what I have on paper, transfer it to computer, and then freeform the rest of the way.
That's slick. Because, you know, when back in school, you had to write outlines to your, before you write an essay.
Yeah.
And you know what? For real, I never really liked it at first.
Me neither.
But when I actually did it, I feel you. My words tended to flow better because I knew where I was going.
Yeah. And once you know where you're going, the thought never leaves. I used to suck at that because I would never write anything down. I swear this has just been like a year of doing it. And I swear everything started to flow better. That is my top advice when someone asks me, what do you do to help your ideas flow better? Write an outline. Write an outline. Even if you just write a paragraph, that's the initial idea for your story. And that is the catalyst for how your story is going to go. You set the scene in those one or two pages.
There you go. You know, I never really heard no one say that. As far as authors, you know, they never really said that they use an outline. But, you know, it makes sense. Like with anything, even with a business, you write out a business plan.
It's just two different ideas coming from two different angles. Right. But it's the same thing. Even if you have to break down, I do this too, where I would break down the characters. Like, who are they? What are their interests? If I want to go in depth with it, I'm never that in depth. Because it's like, sometimes it's not even needed in a story. And it always, I never clicked for me to do it outside of a school setting. Because those are those dumb essays you get in English, you know, that you had to read something and then write based on what you read. And those were always the worst for me because that's, English was my thing, but I could do it better if I was just free-forming.
Right.
And it just came easier to me if I was like, well, this is stupid. But it always helped to do an outline. Period. Whether it was a school assignment or now getting older, writing, I just wrote my story. And you decide how in-depth you want to go with the character. Does she have daddy issues? Was she raped? Was she molested? You know, how deep are you trying to go with the character is up to you. But that's you. Just write it down. Even if it doesn't make sense, you can make it make sense.
Right.
Just write it down.
But you know what, man? I read it. Because, you know, I was in the class. It was a visual storytelling class. And that was one of the ideas, is to take each of your characters and flesh them out. Write down their whole backstory so that when you insert them into that story, into your storyline, now, you know what I'm saying, you may even be able to incorporate a little bit of their backstory into why they're doing what they're doing or why they're thinking the way they're thinking.
Exactly. It's the same thing. It's just nobody's telling you to do it.
Right. So do you flesh out all your characters like that or just...
Sometimes. It depends on where I'm taking the story.
Okay.
And what I'm writing.
Okay.
Because I've been thinking on this personal piece of how I came to be where I'm at now. And I've been toying with the issue. It's just something that's been bugging me for years. And I don't want to write it because I don't want to go back there to that negative space, but...
It can be therapy.
Exactly. And I may help somebody.
There you go.
So I've been thinking about that a lot. And I don't need a character sketch. My whole life has been a character sketch. Like, it's me. So I really wouldn't have to do much, but when I'm trying to go in deep like personal situations like that, or I'm trying to give a character a personal feel, yeah, that's when I would do it.
Okay.
You know, or if I'm just trying to get a feel for how the character is, what I'm trying to portray to the reader, then maybe, but I don't like doing that too much because like I said, I draw from tragedy.
Right.
So I have a tendency to take myself way back to emotional times where I wasn't in such a good place to connect with a character. And I end up getting really angry and almost throwing my phone because it hits that personally. So I try not to do that for the sake of my things because I really don't want to destroy stuff. You know, that's why also why I've been sitting on this story, because I know it's going to get really personal and I'm going to have an emotional like attachment. And I just don't know how far I'm ready to go, because it's like I'm going to start beating myself up all over again and doing all this stuff I try so hard not to do. And I'm just like, yeah, I got to think about that a little bit, because I'm just like, is it really worth the emotional toll all over again?
Reading is dope.
Reading is a way to live out your dreams. Cause reality ain't always what it seems. Reading is a path to opportunities. It can build bridges between you and me. Reading is a way to find your purpose. Cause you know you're more than what they see on the surface. Reading is a way to seek education. It stimulates your mind and increases contemplation. That's why reading is dope.
So being someone who suffers from mental illness, do you find that writing is therapeutic or somewhat cathartic?
Yes, a lot of times. But the thing is, it's not the end-all, be-all, cure-all.
Right.
But yes. Even if I'm writing something happy, I notice that it always draws from tragedy.
Okay.
So yes.
Okay.
It's not like Debbie Downer, like Edgar Allan Poe status. Have you ever read an Edgar Allan Poe poem? That man was ill, and you could tell by reading his work.
I have a book of it's a lot of his writings in one book. I only read like a little bit of it, and that was a while ago. But
like, you know, it's like he was mentally ill, and it turns out that he was under the influence the whole time, which you can tell when you read his work.
And the influence of alcohol?
Drugs.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I like, as far as mental illness goes, I find that I have to get myself right. Period.
Right.
You know, and it's not going to always help, but a good majority of the time it does. But a lot of why it helps is because I've done the work to make it help.
Okay.
I mean, I put in years of self-discovery. I don't know. I just feel like in order for something to help you, you have to allow it to.
True.
In a way. So I couldn't even think of this being a career if I didn't tackle the emotional part of me that wasn't motivated enough to make it a career.
True.
You know, and so it goes hand in hand. It's as much the writing, the physical pen to paper, as it is the self-discovery beforehand. So this is how I'm going to make it work. So yes, that, and the other. And I realized I like being my own boss. You really find out a lot about yourself. Because I had submitted my work to a regular publishing company about, I was maybe my early 20s, 21, 22. They told me I was better off keeping it a hobby.
Wow.
And that it would never, that's not what they're looking for. They needed it a little bit more. What was the word they used? Too much. Your work is a little too much for what we're looking for. And if they were to take my work, they probably would have made it, you know, how they wanted it to be. And I wasn't down for that. And now if I would have listened, I wouldn't have been in this mindset of I'm going to get there no matter what.
So did they offer you?
No. They're saying they rejected it, like, majorly.
So they didn't even offer no suggestions of what to change?
No. Honestly, it's too much, meaning everything.
Wow.
You know, that's how I took it, because they didn't even say anything. You're better off keeping this a hobby, is what they said.
What book was it?
It was something I never looked at again, and I threw away. I regret the fact that I threw it away, because that was some of my best work.
They killed your spirit like that?
Yes, it did. I never wanted to touch writing again. That's why I kept it a hobby for so long.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I kind of feel like these are white people talking to a black person. I feel like if I was willing to I don't want to be like everybody else. I kind of felt like they wanted me to be like everybody else that was out now.
Right.
I was never meant to be like everybody else. And I just felt like they wanted to whitewash and condense my work into something that would be comfortable for them. And I'm so anti-authority, I've never been comfortable. I've never been the type to be comfortable to fit your needs or to make you feel better about yourself.
You know what?
Nah, I'm going to stand out and I'm going to do it in a big way.
You got to. But you know what? That reminds me of an episode of Good Times. You ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the episode where Thelma, she wrote a play? And
it was
controversial, but she had had backing. They wanted to produce it and they wanted to make little small changes. And
yeah,
they kept on wanting to make little small changes. And at that point, at some point, she was just like, damn, I can't. This doesn't even look like the play that I wrote.
Exactly. I'm not down to be changed. I was born to stand out. I say things that everybody are thinking, but I'm the first one to say it right. A lot of the time. In my family, I'll be saying like, well, that's stupid. Everybody else is thinking it. They have side conversations about it. But I'm the first one to come out and say, well, your line of thinking isn't stupid. It's stupid. And yes, I am talking to an elder, but I'm just, I always was like, no, I'm sorry. We're not in the 50s. That's dumb. And everybody else could be thinking it, but I'm the only one saying it. And I feel like that's a lot of times how I am in general.
Right.
You're not going to like what I have to say. A lot of times I am going to push. When people say don't push, that's just how I am. You don't like it, but don't like it. You don't have to respond to it.
Right.
But don't say I'm attention seeking when you just don't like my opinion. Or don't say, oh, you're too much. Well, bitch, you're not enough. How about that?
So, you know,
yeah.
Are you familiar with my brand?
No, I'm not.
The whole Gilla for Life. You know, the name of the brand is Gilla Boys Entertainment. Gilla is an acronym. It stands for Gifted, Unique Individuals Living Life Accomplishing. So it's all about, you know, being your best self or staying true to yourself. And it's like everything I'm listening to you say, it's like you embody everything about that concept. You know what I'm saying?
I try, and this stems from years of self-doubt.
Right.
And just being too worried about what everybody has to say, how they're going to view me. This multiple sclerosis diagnosis last year changed everything for me. I just didn't care anymore. It hits differently when you're faced with something. It hits differently when you're faced with something you can't take back. You didn't really ask for.
Right.
You know, it's like my whole left side went numb. And I spent from March to August trying to figure out why. In and out of hospitals, you know. And then I finally got a diagnosis and was put on some trippy treatment that made me feel absolutely insane.
Right.
And it was just God's way of getting me to pay attention. Are you going to take this with you when you die? The main thing I got out of that. Well, you have been wasting too much time on irrelevant shit. What people think of you, you're not going to take that with you to your grave. You're going to be alone with yourself and Jesus. It hit differently. It was a total mind shift. The way I was living, I had no choice but to pay attention.
Right.
And it was just... nothing else mattered in that moment. And it's like, okay, God, I'm paying attention. Can you stop now?
Okay.
I don't like this.
Okay.
So sometimes God has to take you through shit to that point where you're just, you just don't care anymore.
Right.
You just don't care. You want to be yourself. You want to be free.
So what do you want to leave behind when you do leave this earth?
I want to leave behind, I want people to see me as someone that wasn't afraid to be who she was. I'm out there. I say that I have a really over-sexualized sense of humor sometimes. And like, it's okay to be yourself. It's okay. I mean, people are going to make you feel like it's not okay, but it's okay. The world is made up of many different colors. It's okay to be who you are, no matter how that manifests. Okay to just be different. And it's okay to just live your life in color. Live it to the best of your ability. Because this world is cruel enough. You know, it'll tear you apart.
There you go.
But you have to know you're good enough for someone. You may not have found that someone yet, but you're good enough for someone.
I mean, most importantly, you're good enough for yourself.
Exactly.
A lot of times we reject ourselves.
Yeah. It took me so long. I'm still not all the way there yet. Right. But honestly, after last year, people's opinions mean less to me now than they ever have. And it took that horrible year of not knowing and just losing all my ability to move to make me realize that people are going to hate you regardless. And it's the people that are never satisfied, you know? So why am I trying so hard to gain your approval when I know I'm never going to get it?
Right.
And you're just as flawed.
There you go.
You know, I'm not afraid to live in my truth. I'm not afraid to say, yes, this happened. I'm not afraid to go to places where most people won't go.
I get that.
You know, and it's just, I just hope people see me as someone who's not afraid to be herself, who is flawed and who is presenting all of herself.
That's dope. So you mentioned Edgar Allan Poe earlier. Is that like one of your favorite authors?
Yeah.
Do you have any others?
I feel like I'm really a fan of Nora Roberts and James Patterson.
Okay.
My boy Anthony is a good urban fiction author, too. I enjoy my writing. Yes, all cockiness intended.
I ain't mad at you.
It's like, if you can't do it for yourself, who is? You can't expect anybody else to do it.
Exactly.
It's like, I just feel like a lot of the times people based what see me as on a Facebook post, but then they would never really talk to me outside of Facebook. You have my number. You know, you never really. So I enjoy a lot of different authors. I read a lot of Langston Hughes,
okay.
Donald Goins, Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. I always say I'm going to be the next Maya Angelou, but I'm going to exceed what she's ever done.
Okay. That's some big shoes to fill, but hey, if you believe in yourself, you can do it.
Yeah. I'm just crazy enough to think I can do it. And then some.
What's your favorite book by Maya Angelou?
I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
See, I never read that.
Because it was her, you know, that's so much of me. She had gotten assaulted. It's not what the story is based on, not per se. But Maya Angelou's story is my story, a lot of it. And I see the parallels in it. And it's just like, yeah, I'm that bird. You know, I know why I'm singing. She knew why she was singing. It's the perfect tragedy to triumph story. And I feel like that's mine in a way.
Hmm.
You really I haven't read it in a while, but it always resonated with me.
Oh, okay. Do you have any other favorite books?
I like murder mysteries.
Murder mysteries? Why do you like those?
Because it speaks to, like, I wanted to be, at some point in my life, I wanted to be a forensic psychologist and find out why and how the people died. But then I realized that most of those people are alcoholics. because they're seeing dead bodies from day in and day out, and it's depressing. And I'm like, okay, I suffer from depression. Do I really want more?
Right. You know what's crazy? I actually started a forensic psychology program at one point, but I got life derailed me, so I really didn't go back to it. But it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's like when you realize that most doctors are alcoholics and they suffer from that, from seeing that day in and day out. And it's like, no, I'd be good at it, but it's really not something that I'm called to do. And you know what? Doctors nowadays aren't even called to do it because they just seem to be doing it for money.
Money. And most people are. And like doctors and nurses, it's like I hear people say, oh, I'm getting into nursing, go into nursing because you can always find a job. It's like, but if you're not really.
There's not too many people like my aunts that are doing it because they actually like helping people.
Right.
Anymore. Like what happened to the oath?
There you go.
You know, and it's just like, I feel like my writing can reach people, and it's something that I always like to do. And the moment I stop loving it is the moment I should stop doing it, because your intentions are not true anymore. And I just feel like not a lot of people talk to me in depth like this. They see what they see on Facebook and they just assume I'm one way. Nobody ever talks to me to get, you know, you don't know where I've been. You don't know the problems I've been, and you wouldn't know because, and I'm just going to say this once. People don't really care if they can't send you a text message. Are you okay? Period. Mm-hmm. They can see what they see on Facebook and base how they view you on a post. But are they really in your corner? Are they really trying to help you?
Right.
If they can't even, are you okay? You text me, you message me on Facebook, but what's some inbox message that you couldn't, do you not have my number? Hmm. And it's like the people that don't even, you know, are always the people that seem to have the most to say based on what they see. But have you ever really had a conversation about what I believe in, what my views are? You know? Oh, this is another thing I would say. This is another thing I want to leave behind. Don't let somebody that barely knows you get into your head and make you think that you're one way. If when you know you're not one way, you know, stick to your beliefs and don't let anybody tell you what you're trying to do in this world. Because only you know what you're trying to do. Too many people come to me thinking they know. And I'm like, huh, have you had a conversation with me? Have you? And it's just funny. I found out that I was attention seeking a couple weeks ago. I found out that I needed help. Yeah, I get it. I remember getting that help. What are you doing? Judging me based on what you see? Don't you need as much help? It's like people will make up all these things from years ago. Oh, she did this. Oh, she did that. Did you know I came out with a book? Do you know it's on sale on Amazon for $8? Did you know all that? You know, did you know? Did you know?
So what's the name of the book?
Why'd You Make Me Love You?
And is that book of poetry?
No, it's actually a romance. Okay. Novella.
I thought you released a book of poetry.
I did, but it didn't go anywhere, so I took it down.
Why you take it down?
Because I really didn't try. It wasn't like anything of effort. And I realized I just put it out to see if I could do it. Now that I'm more focused, I probably do a lot better job. But it was just rushed. The editing sucked.
Okay.
And it was like not my best work. Now that I'm holding myself to a higher standard, it's better, you know. I just find that a lot of the work I did even 4 years ago pales in comparison to what I can do now. And so I'm seeking to do better. I have better people around me. I have the encouragement. And it's like all played a part. Nobody thought I could do it 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, everybody wasn't as on my side as they are now. And I find that what I did back then pales in comparison to what I'm doing now and the work I'm doing now. So,
I mean, but that's what comes with growth.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Back then, I mean, you were more of a beginner.
I wasn't ready.
But you
know, I wasn't ready.
You know, the process of going through it and revising and keep writing, you just get better over time.
Exactly. And I noticed that when going through almost 22 years of work, you know, it was like, wow, this is lame compared to what I have now. It's like, ooh. And it's like, what's different about this book is I finished it on my cell phone.
Oh, for real?
Never touched a computer.
Oh, wow.
Never touched a computer. Hey, until it was in the revision stage.
That's the power of technology.
And, yeah. And it's like, that's what sets me apart. I could do everything on my phone. And it's like, oh, you need a computer? Well, I did this on my phone. Nobody is better than anybody. And I see authors that are better than me. And instead of getting hurt, like kind of like jealous, I'm just saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. There's always someone better than you. Don't feel like you're not ever going to get there. Just you're not there yet. With the growth of your writing has to come mental growth and growth as a human. If you're going to do this as a career, you have to grow. Be willing to grow with your work. If you're not, then you're not going to be successful.
Reading is dope.
You can get your Dilla Gear apparel at Chantinique Music and Sportswear in Detroit on Harper. The address is 8933 Harper, and the telephone number is 313-923-3304. Shout out.
Yo, we got the style that makes them wild when you come through. Gilla Gear, we in here, we the ones who. So get the unique when we speak upon these ones and twos. Heat in the streets with these beats and we got clothes too. It's a style that makes them wild when you come through. Gilla Gear, we in here, we the ones who. So get the unique when we speak upon these ones and twos. Heat in the streets with these beats and we got clothes too.
This is Gilla Boys Radio. So do you feel like writing is your calling?
Yes.
What made you feel that way?
Just being so outspoken and knowing that my journey could help someone. I always wanted to help somebody, but I'm not patient enough to be a teacher. And I sure as hell don't want the depression of being a nurse or doctor. And I feel like this is something I've always known how to do, you know? Yeah, I'm going to school to perfect my craft, but it's something I didn't need to learn.
Right.
Yeah, you learn how to perfect it, but at the same time, if you have the talent, it's like drawing. It never leaves you. You just perfect it.
Okay.
It's your job to keep the talent alive.
There you go. It's all about creativity.
Exactly.
What does creativity mean to you, the whole concept of it?
Oh, that's a good question. I never really had to think about it, but creativity to me is being unapologetically you and allowing that creativity to manifest in whatever you set out to do. Like for me is writing. For somebody else, it might be, you might want to be a makeup artist. You might want to be a doctor, a painter. Just let that creativity show. Be unapologetically you and let it show in anything you do. Creativity is being uniquely you and attacking whatever your goal is, being you. Not having to change for society or what society tells you is right. Okay. Doing it unapologetically and being uniquely you.
Okay. I can dig that. So, of everything you've accomplished, whether professionally or just in life in general, what would you say meant the most to you and why?
Wow.
Take your time. You can think about it.
I was a shitty kid.
Why?
And it's like going through the process of figuring out what my mental illness actually was. It was a whole crap load I put my mother through. And it's always nice to hear her say, You've come a long way, and I see how far you've come. Knowing that, because sometimes when you're going through life, it's tough. You go through things, and you think nobody sees how much I've grown. But to hear someone you've been through the trenches with tell you that you've come a long way, I think by far, for me, someone I respect more than anything. I mean, Lord knows we have our disagreements, but she is by far it when it comes to Christian faith, everything. And by far, that is something that I always am proud of, because she's, if no one else knows, it's her. And for her to tell me that I've grown and she sees my growth means the world to me. No matter what I'm doing, as long as she can see where I've come from, that's enough. I don't have to do anything at all. To hear that from one of the most important people in my life.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So self-growth. So personal growth.
Yes.
Sounds like, okay. I mean, and that's a good thing to be proud of. Like, I mean, I think we've all grown over the years, because, I mean, I would like to think that I have, but.
Yeah. I mean, whatever that means for you, growth is growth. Even if it's just, oh, I quit smoking a month ago. That's right. Growth.
There you go.
And don't be afraid to give yourself credit for something. I never give myself credit for anything. And there are times where I just feel like the shittiest person in the world. And it's like, well, you're not stupid. Stop it. It's like, just because you're in a shitty situation right now doesn't mean you're shit. Your situation is. You are not your situation.
Right. So you are not your circumstances.
Exactly.
So, what is the question that no one has ever asked you, but you wish someone would ask you?
You got another hour?
It's that deep, huh?
Yeah, it's because I feel like people just base who they think I am on Facebook. And it's just like, okay, but what about outside of Facebook? You know?
Right.
I don't know if there's one specific question. Maybe it's just like doing something like this in the conversation where you just get to know me,
right,
who I really am.
Okay.
You know, instead of assuming you know me based on a Facebook post, you know, that's what I would want more than anything. Someone reaching into my head and saying, what's in there? Or like actually being curious to know what's in there.
Hmm.
You know,
I can dig that.
Just actually someone talking to me beyond Facebook or what they see. I mean, it's funny how much this person who thought I was attention seeking thought she knew me, and she was just absolutely sure she knew me based on a Facebook post. I'm like, bitch, have you talked to me? It was comical because she just knew. I don't think I know. I'm like, you do. How do you know? Based on a post where you didn't disagree and I erased your comment because I didn't want to argue? Is that why? Or is it because I choose to feel my feelings out loud for somebody to feel, to see it's okay to have feelings? And you're just like a closed-minded individual that thinks it's okay not to feel. You can't cry, you know? And this person I just so happened to call out because she happened to be the person who didn't really care beyond what she saw on Facebook. I'm sorry you're mad because you got called out. I'm just the person to do it. And you sure as hell, you know, didn't mind attacking me when you got called out. But I wasn't able to handle your opinions of me. To be honest, people have been pushing their opinions on me all my life. And for once, I would just like to answer your question from once. I would just like people to go beyond their opinions of me so they can really see me,
right,
as a person like you're doing. You don't know me, but you're asking me questions,
right,
to know me.
Right.
I would love it if more people were like you.
Oh, well, you know what? That makes me feel good.
Thank you. But it's like a breath of fresh air, though, because nobody's really asked me questions like this. to try to get to see who I really am. Just because I feel things on an open level, so to show people that it's okay to feel, doesn't mean I'm such a broken individual. You clearly didn't have a problem imposing your opinions on me when you felt like I was calling you out.
Right.
Because you really didn't care. I never got one message. No, always the people that don't give a damn trying to tell me about myself when they don't even know me. That's the thing.
And you know
don't
what?
Let people get in your mind that wouldn't take the time to get to know you as a person.
There you go. And see, that's kind of the point of this podcast. Because I found that, I mean, creative people in general tend to be deep people, but especially authors. You know what I'm saying? And it's like nowadays people don't really take the time to read books like that. Because, I mean, I feel like if you really read everything an author put out, you may have somewhat of an understanding of that person. You know what I'm saying? But this podcast kind of helps to put it in a nice, succinct form. if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. And the thing is, even if they did read a book, it's not even close to who I am. You cut me, I'll bleed.
Right.
And I just so happen to be a deep individual that feels things on a grander scale. And if I can feel things openly and let somebody see that it's okay to be open, then okay. You don't have to agree with me. My opinions are mine. Your opinions are yours. Right. You're okay with tacky editing clients, but I'm not. Sorry, man. If I'm looked at as complaining when I want professionalism and I don't want you to call me a bitch because I refuse to work with you and I say something about it, I'm sorry. I'm always going to say something. I'm not going to be disrespected. You can be disrespected, but I'm not going to be. If you're okay with that in this industry, if you're okay with that, then go ahead and be okay with it. But I'm always going to say something, honey. I like my self-respect, and I respect myself enough to want more out of the industry, which I'm working in.
Right.
You don't care? Then don't care. Don't come on my post with that bullshit expecting me not to say something. Or not to erase something I don't agree with.
Okay.
Sorry.
On that note, tell everybody what you got going on. Like, what you got coming up next?
Well, there's a lot of things. But what I'm working on individually, there's Brown Sugar's Inkwell.
Right.
When me and my partner, Anthony, have started and have authors under us. But I'm really passionate about... Oh, I'm passionate about everything I put my fingers on or else I'm not touching it. But at the same time, this specific Jaded Heart Publications is geared towards women of all races and genders. If you have a talent for writing, if you want me to mentor you, I've been doing this for almost 22 years. I can give you some insight. I noticed that women are so against each other, especially Black women. But women in general, we're so against each other. The world is against us, period, for so many reasons.
Right.
Especially Black women. If we can get together for a common goal, which is writing, something we're good at, and something we can just bond together and support each other, that's where it's at for me there. And Brown Sugar's Inkwell is just something I just got into. It's like, why not? Why not? I'm good at it. People are good at it. Why not just do something you love? And both my projects I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about pushing this forward with women, though, because I feel like I'm called to do something with women. I don't really know what that is exactly, but this is where I'm starting.
Okay. So is Brown Sugar's Inkwell a publishing company or more of a mentorship program type?
No, it's a publishing company.
Okay.
The publishing company.
So do you have like a website? Like, how can everybody find you? Where can they find you, your work, and things like that?
Honestly, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. At Lady J, the Lost Poet is my Instagram. Everything is there. I'm going to start, like, it's all in the beginning stages. So it's just ideas. I'm kind of at a standstill now because all these problems are going on in my personal life. I'm just starting to pay more back attention to what I want to do with Jaded Heart. You know, so everything is going to happen. Financially, I'm not there yet. Right. So it's just an idea. But if I can get women under me that want to be mentored in writing, you know, that just have a desire to try, you know, I feel like it starts with an idea.
Right.
God is going to see to it that you fulfill whatever your desire is.
I can dig that.
You know, I'm all for people winning. You're under me, you're going to win. We're going to make it. You know, I'm just like, we're so divided as a country, as people of color. It's just so divided as it is. It's just something I want to do to bring people together, specifically women.
And that's a dope
I got
way to
laughed
look at.
I got told I was never going to work. But you know what? A lot of those people are white people. I've noticed that tell me I can't do something. It's never my own people. So
that's a blessing, that,
you know? And so I'm going to try, you know, I'm at a standstill right now, but I'm not always going to be standing still.
There you go.
You know?
So that's pretty much the last question I have for you. Is there anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Not
a lot of people do.
No problem. I do want you to do me a small favor, though.
What's up?
I want you to say, this is John Viev. I keep messing your name up. John Viev, Sienna Moore. Is that right?
Morris.
And you're tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio.
This is Joan VF, Sienna Morris, and you are tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio.
Ooh, I like that. That was fly.
Thank you so much again for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for taking the time to share your story. Like, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Reading is dope.
The Reading is Dope podcast has been brought to you by Dope Digital Media in conjunction with Gilla Boys Radio. We want to thank everyone who's been supporting the movement thus far. But if you have not supported yet, go to GillaBoys.com. That's GUILLABOYZ.com. And click on donate to pledge your support. Thank you in advance.